Welcome to the Construction Industry Podcast. Fresh ideas for today's construction professional. The Construction Industry Podcast is brought to you by Remontech, remote monitoring technologies. Find us on the web at constructionindustrypodcast.com.
Hello everybody, once again, my name is Cesar Abade, and this is the seventh episode of the Construction Industry Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you as you navigate the waters of the construction industry. Whether you're looking to start your career, looking to improve your professional knowledge, or if you're a construction project or business owner, this show is for you. Today, I will tell you about LinkedIn and how to use it to help you as a construction professional. And on our tech tip, I'll introduce you to a very innovative product by a company that can certainly give you some sound advice. Here we go. Hello once again. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that I work for Remontech Remote Monitoring Technologies, and we provide remote monitoring for construction projects. And the very nature of our business, I mean, it's in our name, it's to be remote. So even though we are based here in Ontario, Canada, a lot of our clients are not even in Canada. So we literally go, we haven't been outside of the Americas yet, but we've been to North and South America monitoring projects in our 10-year history. And in fact, I have my tickets now. I know I've been talking about this, but just yesterday I got my tickets to Brazil. I'm going to Brazil next week, which happens to be my home country, by the way. So if you wonder where my accent is from, that's what it is. But I'll be going there next week and to supervise an installation for one of our services, which is remote monitoring for this particular construction project there. It's a steel mill, brand new steel mill plant they're building there. But even though we are by nature remote and kind of a global company, though we're really, really small, I'm kind of humbled by the number of people that have been listening to the podcast. And I'm looking here at the stats, and we've been downloaded by people in 28 different countries. And I'll give you a couple of them, the United States, Canada, the UK, Australia, China, South Africa, Hong Kong, France, India, New Zealand, Germany, Netherlands, Brazil, Spain, Saudi Arabia, Norway, Namibia, Portugal, Algeria, Philippines, and on and on and on. And I'd love to hear from some of you guys. If you're listening to me from outside the U.S. and Canada, please send me an email. You can write me at feedback@constructionindustrypodcast.com. I'd love to hear from you. Actually, if you're in the U.S. and Canada, you can write me too. Love to get some feedback from the listeners and see what you think of the show. Okay. So again, I'm humbled by this. Thanks for listening. And I hope to continue to do this and provide good value and content to you. Now, today is Thursday, October 6th. That's the day I'm recording this. And we just heard in the news last night, that Steve Jobs from Apple passed away. Now, I'm an Apple fan. I have a MacBook, which I use to produce this podcast, for example. And I have an iPhone, big fan of their products. And I was a big fan of the man, too. He's a guy that I look up to. He's extremely successful doing the things that he loved to do. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that, right? And I think the topic of the show today, which is LinkedIn, can be we can learn from Steve Jobs a couple of things before we dive into that. For me, the most important thing about his career is that he had this vision of products. He would envision it, and he would think, I think people would love to use something like this. And then he would go after the technology and go after the money to do it. And instead, that sounds kind of obvious, but I think what happens nowadays is that we come across some great technology, and then we try to find a use for it, or we come across a business opportunity, and then we chase it without having that end user or end goal in mind first. And I think that's what he did, and he was, you know, did it time and time again. He would come up with a product, and people say, "Oh, well, you know, nobody wants that." I said, "Well, I think they do." And he would not listen to anybody, get the funds, get the product out there, and it would be a tremendous success. So how does that relate to LinkedIn? So, well, I think a lot of people are spending a lot of time on social networks such as Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And I think we kind of tend to lose sight of what they're there for. A lot of people go there because it's fun to be there and chat, but really, what is that adding to your life? And so LinkedIn, we're going to talk about that and how to use it effectively, but let's keep that in mind, that it's a tool. In the end, we're still communicating with people, and we're still trying to sell ourselves or our company. And we need to keep that in mind as we explore these tools. So with that in mind, let's talk about LinkedIn. Now, what is LinkedIn? LinkedIn is one of the social networks that are out there. Okay, and usually when we think about social networks, we think of Facebook and Twitter, and we tend to forget LinkedIn. But we should really pay more attention to it. There's a lot happening there. Now, what is LinkedIn? LinkedIn, according to their own website, quote, "LinkedIn is the world's largest professional network with over 120 million members and growing rapidly. LinkedIn connects you to your trusted contacts and helps you exchange knowledge, ideas, and opportunities with a broader network of professionals," end quote. The way I see it, it's kind of like Facebook, in which you can create a free profile and then connect with people you know. The difference is that LinkedIn is a professional network. It's dedicated to professionals. And you can only add people that you've done business or went to school with. You can't just find somebody out of the blue and ask them to be your friend, like people do that on Facebook all the time. You connect with celebrities and things like that. They never met them before. LinkedIn doesn't let you do that. And so if you don't know somebody and you'd like to connect with them, what you can do, you can find a common contact between you and that person and ask to be introduced via LinkedIn. And I think that's genius, right? Because it creates that that connection with that person, but at the same time, you're using one of your contacts to do that. So it's a three-way network right there. And it works for me. Like, let's say I want to contact somebody, I'm not friends with them, I never did work with them, I can ask to be introduced via a friend, and I've done that a number of times. And so I think that's the basic difference between LinkedIn and the other social networks there. Now, what's LinkedIn good for? Obviously, it's good for staying in touch, right? So you can connect and reconnect with colleagues. Now, the other thing that is good for is it enables you to see what your business contacts are up to. People will often provide status updates on their news feed, and you can see what they're up to. So let's say they're attending some conference and they'll say, you know, I'm at the conference X and X. You can see that. Yeah. Now, where LinkedIn really shines is on how it helps you network. Okay. And it helps you network in a number of ways. The first obvious way is to help you connect with people you know. So let's say you had a business contact that you worked with that person 5 years ago, and now you're both in different jobs. You kind of lost touch with them. You can look them up on LinkedIn and connect with them that way. Okay. And here's what's happening too. Like, as you connect with other people, the people that you are already connected with, they can see your new contacts, your new connections, right? So this is a great opportunity. If you want to be associated with a certain group of individuals in your niche or in your industry, you, and as you connect with them, other people will see that and they start associating your name with theirs. Okay, so that's what they call networking up, right? So everybody you connect to, your contacts will see it. Yeah. So it's a great opportunity right there. The other way you can network is by joining groups. Okay, and groups are these virtual meeting groups of people in the same industry, or of like-minded people, or people in the same profession. So what they do, they will create a group and people can join. Now, some groups are open, so anybody can join. Other groups, you need to be invited, and other groups you can request to join, and then the group owner can approve or not. Okay. So as an example, I'm a member of a number of groups, and there's a group for construction management I'm a member of. There's another group called Construction Professionals Forum. Okay. There's another one that I'm a member of is the Construction Management Association of America. Another one is called the Design and Construction Network. Another one is Engineering Jobs Worldwide, where people post job positions. Isn't that awesome? And it's not just it's very different than a job board. That's like a job board is basically a classifieds on the internet, right? A LinkedIn group where people post jobs, that's very different. It's usually an HR person that's posting the job. You can see their picture, you can see their face, you can click on them and see where they work and their experience. And so when you apply for that job, when you contact that you're contacting a person, like a real, you know, skin and bones and blood person, not some cold job board. And at the same time that you can see them, they can see you. They can go and read your resume right there. How great is that? That's fantastic. If you're looking for a job, you can join one of these groups and you get daily job postings, right? And I'm also I'm a member of a number of project management groups. And there are groups for everything. Like if you're into fly fishing, there'll be a group about that, right? Now, the groups, they provide a great opportunity to do a number of things. Number one, to meet new people in the industry that you may not have had the opportunity to meet otherwise. So let's say you're a construction manager, you'll be able to meet another construction manager working in the Philippines or in South America, and you know, and connect with them. You can join in the conversations, because what they do, people will post a question or post a topic, and then there's a discussion that follows, and you can add your two cents right there. You can ask questions and you can answer questions, right? And the great thing about answering questions is it's an opportunity for you to share your knowledge with the community, right? So let's say somebody asks a question and you know the answer, you can just go there and answer and share that knowledge. And that's an opportunity for you to establish yourself as an expert in the field. You may be an expert, but if nobody knows it, it doesn't do you much good. So if you on these groups, you have that opportunity to establish yourself as an expert by answering questions, and very soon you're gonna have people wanting to connect with you. You see where that's going? See, and it's almost like a snowball effect if you do it right. The other thing you can do in the groups is to see what people are talking about. Yeah. So let's say you are in flying fishing, let's keep in the construction industry. Let's say you're a construction manager and you go into the construction management group and you join, and you see that, let's say, 9 out of 10 questions people ask there, or 9 out of 10 topics there, it's about something that you've never heard before. That's a hint for you that you need to read up on that, right? And so you end up learning what you need to learn, which sometimes we don't know. I think it was Donald Rumsfeld that would say, you know, had the whole thing about knowing what you know and the known unknowns. This is an opportunity for you to know your unknowns, so you know what to study. And not only that, you learn what the trends are in the construction industry. So you see where people are talking about, see the technologies they're using, and see what the trends are. So you can be proactive about that. Besides joining groups, another way to network is to share good news or share articles. So you can use your status updates to share news with your network of contacts. So you can profile news about your company or career. So let's say if your company wins an important contract, you can brag about that there. You can make a note and share that with the community. Or if you get a promotion, you can share that there too. So if there's some important news related to your industry, let's say there's a new law that is coming to effect, or a new regulation, a new code, you can share that with the community. And again, it shows your leadership and it helps you as you establish yourself as an expert in the field. Now, the other thing that you can do to network, it's to share where you are. Share your physical location. So if you travel for work, so like in my case, I'm going to be in Brazil, I may want to share that on LinkedIn that I'm going to be in Brazil for the next week and a half. Because what happens is that people there will see that and they might invite me to a local event. I have a number of contacts in Brazil. It might be interesting for them to know that I'm there. Now, you need to use this with care due to privacy concerns. Obviously, you don't want to give people your address and where you are, you know. And but if you can use this smartly and you can use it to your advantage. Now, besides networking, LinkedIn is good for market research. So you can look into the groups that you just joined, right, and see what's happening in your market. You can monitor your competition as well, right, because believe me, they're doing that to you. They're doing that to your company. So you can see what your competitors are up to. And there are a number of ways of you can do that. You can, for example, you can see what positions they are hiring for, which can give you hints on projects that they're working on. And again, they will brag about their projects, so you can see what projects they're winning, and you can it's a new way for you to interact with your competition, and it's a more friendly way because you're sharing, they're sharing, and there's a win-win situation right there. Right? Now, besides market research, you can use LinkedIn for lead generation as well. You can see what people in groups are posting about, and usually that's gonna let's see, if you're in the construction industry like I am, somebody in the construction management group posts about a new project that they're working on. That to me is a lead. I can look into that project, see if it fits my if it could be a good prospect for me, and then if it is, then I can pursue it. And guess what? I already know the name of a person that's involved in that project, and gives me a head start on getting that prospect. And perhaps, you know, getting a contact right there with that company. So usually, you know, all projects and opportunities will be mentioned. So you can, and let's say you don't know that person, right, in the group, or you don't know the person that is mentioning that project. You can, if you and that person are both in the construction sector, chances are you're going to have a contact or two in common. And you can ask that contact to introduce you to that person. And I've done that successfully. It's great, right? Because people want to help you there, and you want to help people. It's this helping each other kind of mentality that goes on in these social networks. And the last thing that LinkedIn is great for is, it doesn't apply to everybody, but if you have your own company and you have your website, it's great for creating traffic to your website. Again, by using all those techniques and all the approaches that I mentioned, by interacting, how you interact with people via status updates and via groups. Let's say you write an article today on green building, right? On your website, and there's a blog post there about green building that you wrote. You spent a lot of time creating that content, and you want people to read it. So what you can do, you can go onto the, let's say, the Design and Construction Network group, and people will be asking questions there about green building and this and that, and you can provide your answer to those questions there. And you can, and by the way, here's the link to an article I just wrote about this topic. So you see, and this, I'll give you an example of how I do this with this podcast, right? I did an interview with Mr. Bruce D'Agostino from the Construction Management Association of America. I think it was episode 4, I think. Don't quote me on it. But it was a great interview. So what I did, I'm a member of the group, right? The Construction Management Association of America LinkedIn group. So I went in there and I posted, hey guys, I just did this interview with your CEO. And you can click here to listen to it or to read the transcript. Why don't you do that and tell me what you think? And I got great feedback. People visited my website, people that had never heard of Remontech before. Now they've been to my website and they saw that they listened to the interview, and now they're listeners of the Construction Industry Podcast, like you. So it works, okay? And it doesn't take a whole lot of work. It's basically networking. Like if you're at a cocktail party, that's how it works, right? You approach somebody and you ask to be introduced and, you know, exchange business cards and, you know, listen to people, see what they have to say, provide, if they ask you a question, you can answer them. So it's that conversation, right? And you see, everybody wins in this, because like my example here of the podcast is Mr. D'Agostino from the Construction Management Association of America. It was an opportunity for him to promote his organization, right? It was an opportunity for the people I shared this with to learn from the interview. So they went and listened to the interview. They heard all about the Construction Management Association of America and how you can help them. And it was good for me too, because I got traffic to my website and I got more listeners to the podcast. Right? So everybody wins. So there are ways to use these networks such as LinkedIn to your advantage. And again, the goal should always be sharing and helping the community, not just self-promotion. Because just like at the cocktail party, nobody likes the guy that comes and just comes to your face, starts talking about how great he is, right? The people we want to talk to are the people who are listening, the people who are interacting with you, people who are helping you, right? So if you want to be heard, you need to provide content. You need to provide value to people. So that's why answering questions and interacting with people that way, it's the way to approach these social networks, instead of just, hey, I wrote a new blog post, click here. So, well, why would I do that? What's in it for me? That's usually what people think, even though they might not word it that way. But, you know, you ask, you see what people are asking about, and then you answer the questions, right? And then you slowly start to establish yourself as an expert and create traffic to your website if you have one. And you start to become an influencer in that group. And that's... those are the quick tips I can give you right now about LinkedIn. And I can tell you they've been working for me for a while. And I did some research to provide you this with this content as well, from asking people who are A-listers on LinkedIn. And that's what they had to say. So I hope this is helpful. And again, if you have any questions about how to do any of this, here I'm assuming that you know how to go to linkedin.com and create an account and join a group. If you don't know how to do any of that, send me an email. Okay, again, feedback@constructionindustrypodcast.com. feedback@constructionindustrypodcast.com. And I will give you a hand on how to get started with LinkedIn. It's not that hard, but it can be, especially in times of crisis like now. If you have any anything that to help you, you can't turn it away. And I think LinkedIn is a great tool for you to have that edge over your competitor, or to help your career so you can score that job or maintain your job or get promoted. So anyway, again, please let me know if you have any questions. I'd be happy to help you. Now, here's our tech tip. As I mentioned before on the podcast, we are in a position here at Remontech that we get to meet a lot of different people in the industry, from CEOs all the way down to trades, union members, government officials, because we are kind of in the construction industry without being a construction company. And every once in a while, I will run into a company or a product that is really innovative, and I feel like, man, I want to share. This is one of the reasons why I started to do this podcast, is to share these things. And here's a good example. Okay, I'm gonna play for you an interview I did with John Finn. Okay, he works for a company called Vertitech, and they have this great product that is to help increase sound transmission class rating on partitions. Okay, and this basically, it's the product is to soundproof a space, but they do that without tearing the walls down, okay, and inserting acoustical products inside the wall partition. And see, I have I have two children, and the youngest one is 1 year old, and my house is an old house, and the floors squeak, and so we're always tiptoeing around the house when the boy is sleeping because we don't want to wake him up. And I've always wanted to have some sort of way to soundproof that room, but again, it's an old house. I don't want to tear down the plaster walls and mess with it. And this is a product that I might actually consider using in that room. So I talked to him, and I'm really impressed. So I'm going to play you the interview now, and I hope you enjoy it. Okay, hello, John. How are you?
I'm good, Caesar. How are you?
I'm doing great. I wanted to have you on the show because you represent a very innovative product, and I'd like you to tell us more about it. It's called Code of Silence, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, can you give us some more information about it and what it does?
Yeah, sure. Just a little background info. As many general contractors and construction professionals know, the ability to reduce sound transmission between rooms in a cost-effective manner isn't always the easiest thing to do. Prior to the release of our product, there have been many glues, rubber membranes, etc., other products that have been labor-intensive and difficult applications, whether it's a retrofit or a new build. So none of these previous products allowed designers and their builders to increase STC rating, which stands for sound transmission class, on partitions without tearing down the walls and inserting acoustical products underneath the wall partition.
Right.
So obviously, that creates added labor, added cost. Whenever you're looking at it with these previous products, increasing STC rating, you're taking down the walls. So, that's not conducive always to a quick, easy fix.
Mm-hmm.
So these products, which, we're not disparaging them at all. They're good products and they serve a purpose, but products like Quiet Rock and Acoustablock and Green Glue, weren't always the easiest applications. So before the creation of, Code of Silence, our founder saw an inspiration for a product that could be sprayed onto a wall like a paint. So, one of our founders was a high-end custom home designer and saw a need for this product in new and existing homes because the current product offering on the market had very few cheap and easy and effective options, in his opinion. So, Code of Silence took about 3 years of research and development with several experienced chemical engineers to perfect and was tested at Riverbank Acoustical Laboratory in Geneva, Illinois, and Underwriter Labs in Northbrook, Illinois, to give it its STC classification and flame spread ratings. So anyways, down to the nitty-gritty, what it is, Code of Silence is a two-layer sound reduction system consisting of a mass building, which is your base coat, and a resilient, which is your finish coat layer that is applied like a paint with a commercial airless sprayer using a 317 tip. Two layers of base coat, one layer of finish coat, sprayed vertically and horizontally, complete the application process. So 20-minute dry times for each, and you can do about a 500-square-foot room in around an hour. So that's so pretty much what we're looking at.
So this is basically a sound-reducing product that you can apply on the walls just like paint.
Absolutely.
I never heard of anything like that.
and nobody has. It's never been done before, and that's kind of why, that's why we came up with the concept, because it was innovative.
And we were just talking before the recording. I have children, and sound reducing in my house would be great. And this would be my house is really old, and I'm not really willing to, you know, get into the walls to put stuff in there. And this sounds like a good solution to help make rooms quieter.
Yeah, absolutely. Your partitions, Caesar, are probably anywhere from a 35 to like a 43 STC rating. That's roughly, so that, you know, that's somewhat of a range, so I'm just estimating. But by adding our product to one side of the wall partition, you're going to increase STC rating by about 9 points, which is going to make that sound, you know, very, 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 very inaudible. It's not going to be something you can hear real clearly, and then if you were to do both sides of the wall, it's going to be basically inaudible to the human ear.
That is amazing. That's really cool. And not only I have babies, but I also have this podcast, and I'm always looking for the quietest possible location to do these recordings. And and this sounds like a very easy solution to a very common problem.
Well, you bring up a great point too, because transmission means coming or going. So if you're trying to create a sound room where you can do, you know, recording or anything like that, it's going to not only limit the amount of sound going out, but also coming in.
Well, here's a question then. I'm somewhat familiar with recording studios. I worked in one, and now I do this podcast, so I try to stay updated with, you know, the technologies and things like that. And one of the things that that we don't want in a quiet space is sound bouncing off the walls. So we want the walls to absorb the sound waves. Does this product do that, or they just bounce the sound back into the room, stopping it from going out of it? You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, absolutely. No, this is not it's not a reflective or absorptive product. It's both. So sound is basically stopped by one of two ways, reflection or absorption. Our product does both. So in terms of, you know, if you were to put it in a church, you wouldn't get a whole bunch of reverberation like you do with certain panels. That's not what we engineered it for. We wanted it to absorb, you know, mid-range frequencies, and that's what it does. If you look at the, you know, I've had acoustical engineers look at our chart, and they love it because the mid-range frequencies is really what's going to be affected. So your baby's crying or dogs barking or, you know, those mid-range frequencies, something like a very high range frequency, like an ambulance, you know, that's going to get more percentage of that sound will get through than, say, you know, something at the same decibel level in a mid range. Does that make sense?
Yes. I get it. That's cool. And so, and let's say if a space is on the upper level, you can't spray that on the floor, but you can spray it on the ceiling of the level before, the level underneath, correct?
And that would help. You could do both. I mean, you could go underneath the floorboards and spray the floor and the ceiling to get basically 6 layers, because as I mentioned, it's a 3-layer application, 2 layers of base, 1 layer of finish. So you'd have 6 layers of protection. It would really, really help. I mean, again, if something comes crashing to the ground, that's kind of a vibrational noise. That's a low frequency. That's energy. You know, you will hear it, but again, it'll be significantly affected by, you know, the Code of Silence product on both sides or one.
Okay. Now, what about the finish? Can we just paint over this, or do they come in color? How does that work?
Yeah, that is one of our intentions, was to have chemical engineers that understood that this needs to be almost like a primer. So the finish coat is basically, it's a white latex paint that you can use as your final coat. I mean, that can be on your walls. We have it in our walls in the office, and it looks just like a normal white painted wall. Or you can paint over it with whatever product you'd like. Any paint product works just perfectly over the top of it.
Amazing. Okay. Now, what's the cost compared to other methods of sound reducing techniques?
Yeah, sure. I took 3 of the most popular products on the market, and again, we're not disparaging them. They serve their purpose, and they're good products, and, you know, great for them. But we do feel like our product is the most cost-effective option on the market, and that's really why we spent so long developing it. Mm-hmm. For a 480 square foot room, Caesar, you're looking at a 10 by 12 room, 5/8 gypsum drywall. A quiet rock, we estimate, with labor, is going to be about $2,800, and that's prior to painting and priming the wall. Quiet rock's a product that is two pieces of drywall, basically, that are acoustical pieces of drywall. It's about $80 a sheet, and a good product. You'd put it up just like drywall, but again, there's going to be some labor there. Acoustablock is a rubber membrane that goes underneath the drywall. That's going to be, in our estimation, for a 480 square foot room with labor, that's going to be around $6,800. Again, prior to painting and priming the wall at the end. So green glue, finally, is going to be your cheapest option. That's around $2,300 without paint or primer. And then coat of silence with labor. Again, these are all with labor included in our estimation. Coat of silence comes in at about $1,350 with labor, and your wall is already primed. So there are some benefits there.
Wow. Yeah, that's, and not to mention it's a lot easier to apply, and you don't have to, you know, mess with drywall and anything like that. So that's
yeah, the time is going to be a consideration too. So, you know, like say you've got you want to do a whole floor of hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. A commercial painter can come in there and do that easily in one day. Easily, one painter. You want to do a whole floor of hotel rooms with the other products, it's definitely going to take you probably 10 times as long.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay. Now, if we want to, where can we go to find more information? No. Well, is this available right now for sale?
It is. Yeah. We're just setting up lines of distribution, but yeah, we are available for sale directly. We came out in June, mm-hmm. So you can go to www.vertetek.com or www.coatofsilence.com.
Okay, and I'll add these links to the show notes for this episode. So if you're listening, you can just check the episode notes, and these links will be there. John, thank you so much for your time.
Caesar, likewise, thank you. I really appreciate your time. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. So there you go. This is our 7th episode of the Construction Industry Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Just wanted to say that this interview here, it takes us back to the beginning of the episode when I was talking about Steve Jobs and having the vision. These guys had the idea of saying, wouldn't it be easier and faster if we could just paint soundproofing to the walls? And they went and they pursued it, and now they're selling it. I think that's great. Again, the next episode I'm going to be recording from Brazil, hopefully. I'm going to bring my equipment with me, and I'm going to see if I can do a podcast episode from the construction site right there in Brazil. Again, you can connect with me at feedback@constructionindustrypodcast.com, and you can visit us on the web at constructionindustrypodcast.com. Again, my name is Cesar Abade. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.